Okay. Today we are going to learn, Ezra Hashem. We're going to try to cover today Perek Zayin and Perek Ches of the Tiferes Yisrael. They are not long prokim, and a lot of the essentials are just sort of like fleshing out and following through on what we talked about to a great degree last week and previously. There are many things which are added here, but I think we should be able, Bezras Hashem, to try to cover them both together here this morning. Last week we followed through on the Maharal's position that he articulated in Perek Vav of the Tiferes Yisrael, where in his discussion about the purpose and the accomplishment of mitzvahs, and the Maharal had an approach that differed in that sense certainly from the Rambam as well as from the Ramban in the Chazal, which was focused on then, which is the Gemara that says, a person says, Al kan tipo yagiu rachamecha meshaskin isoy, a person who prays and waxes eloquent and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, your mercy even extends to the bird's nest. Please extend your mercies to us. So we silence him. And one of the reasons given in the Gemara, the one which is the one of focus, is because he's making the midos, the measures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim, when they are actually gezeiros. He's making out as if the mitzvahs of Hashem are mercy when they are instead really decrees. So what's wrong with saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful? Why do you have to say that it's like a blind decree? I mean, that was the discussion which we had before. And the Rambam took a position, and the Ramban took a position, and the Maharal took a position. And what we're going to have here in Perek Zayin is in the beginning of the Perek, he sort of, you know, reviews his argument with them in light of yet another Maimar Chazal, which is of a similar venture, of a similar nature. A famous Medrash. The Medrash says, V'chima ichbis l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu im sheichet min ha-tzavar ay sheichet min ha-ereth. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mind whether you shecht from the neck, from the front, or you shecht from the ereth, from the back? What difference does it make? Harei l'ninu ha-mitzvahs el l'tzarif ben ha-briyas. The mitzvahs evidently were only given l'tzarif ben ha-briyas to somehow to make people better. So what does this mean? So we go over, again, this is basically going over the same outline of the Shitos, but plugged into this example. And this will be our review. So the Rambam says, what's the idea? That mitzvahs, while there might be general purposes in mitzvahs, in a mitzvah, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it generally, but when you get down to specifics and the details, for instance, whether you shecht from the neck or you shecht from the back, right? You know, from the front of the neck or from the back, there's no reason for that. There's no reason for that. Ein leitam. There's no reason for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you because he wants to be your mitzvah. He wants to be the one who's instructing you, the one who's commanding you, the one who's telling you what to do, and you follow in relationship. You show deference to Hashem. That's the purpose of that. And therefore, that's what it means. The Tzarev Ben Esabrias is sort of like to bring us in line, to have us clear on our yachas, on our connection to Hashem Yisbarach.
Can you translate tziruf or tzaruf?
Okay, so the term tziruf in the classic translation is to purify. Right? L'tzaref is like v'yoshav mitzraf u'mitar kesef. Right? It's like purging or smell. You know, I don't know what the right term is. You know, if you take silver and you put it into a certain kind of a kiln, a certain kind of a furnace, so it removes the impurities from it.
Burns off the dross.
Right. Okay. Good translation. It burns off the dross.
Dross is the.
Yeah, about it. Well, yesterday's haftarah we had the word dross.
Oh, that was dross.
Right. Kaspech. Kaspech. Malay Sigim or something like that, right? So it's dross. Silver dross. I have no idea what it is, but it sounds good. Okay.
You learn
so
some every time here.
What?
You learn some every time
here. So the you know, that's the way it is. And again, with the Rambam's interpretation of it, it's, you know, it's weaker. You know, it sits in my head someplace that someone says that Litzaref, there's another term for Litzaref. Litzaref is to combine, right? To be mitzaref, you know, you have a half a kazayas of lettuce and a half a kazayas of horseradish, it's mitzaref, you know, for a shear of a kazayas of mor. You know, that's what it is. So what is litzaref and asabiyas? To attach them. It says in Svarim, this it does say in Svarim, and I think somebody says it on litzaref and asabiyas, is that the term mitzvah is like the term tzeves, which means a grouping, a pairing, an association, and the purpose of the mitzvahs is to create that association with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody's asking me to do something and I go along and I do it and I cooperate, so then that is in itself a bond. We are working together, and the mitzvahs are the way of creating our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some would translate that Litzaref Bohenes Habriyos. That's the idea. Litzaref Bohenes Habriyos is to attach, to combine them with the Briyos, to combine them with the creators. I heard this once from, some of you may have heard this from me before. I like it. I'm proud of it, so to speak. I heard this once from Ramesh Shapiro, and so I suggested to him, I said, maybe that's the deeper pshat in what Rashi says, in what Rashi brings in Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu is coming home, and he has to meet up with Esav again. And he says, Im Lavan Garti Vayichar Adata. I was with Lavan, I lived as a guest with Lavan, and I've been delayed until now. So Rashi says famously, Garti is Bigimatria Taryag. It's in fact, whatever it is, the numerical value, the actual letters of how we spell it out, but the whole thing is a number thing anyway, of Taryag. So what she's saying is, I lived with Lavan, I kept the Taryag mitzvahs, I did not learn Mimasav Aroim, I did not learn from his bad deeds. So, you know, it's sort of like a warning shot that he's doing it. But how does that fit with, the simple pshat, Garti? I lived as a stranger. I mean, it's nice, Garti is the same letters of Taryag, but what he's saying explicitly, it seems to be different, but the idea is like this. That if the mitzvahs, if the Taryag mitzvahs are to create a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you understand that the bond which Yaakov had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that made it that when he was with Lavan, he was sort of there as a stranger, as an outsider. Right? When you are at your firm or your company or whatever it is, right, and you're there, but you're not like, you're not part of the thing completely. You should be, you know, very proper and good and warm to people, but you're still something, you know, a little bit on the periphery. Why? Right? Because you can't shake the lady's hands, right? Because you can't go to happy hour, because you can't see, you know, do the restaurants the same as everybody else. The mitzvahs connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that sense, to some degree, disconnect you from. In other words, so Garti makes for Taryag. If the mitzvahs are to create connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they necessarily create some level of disconnect from those who are outside. He liked it very much. So that's the word.
Like soldering. When you solder two pieces solder two pieces of metal together, you have to heat them up. It has to be that there's no intercedent dirt or whatever. It has to be that you melt them to a certain degree, and then they form back together again.
Yeah, I hear. Okay. So that's again, that's another level of tzrufa. Okay, but again, that's the Rambam's approach. But the Maharal again argues with us here. And, you know, last week we painted a little bit of the broader context that in the Maharal there's nothing which is incidental in the Torah. there's nothing in the Torah which you would even use sort of like incidentally, use this as a homiletic tool or anything else. The Torah is a very precise instrument. That's his general approach, which of course makes him very uncomfortable with this Rambam. Very uncomfortable with this Rambam. My Rebbe Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Weinberg, used to twist this Rambam. I don't know if I mentioned last week or not. He used to have such a hard time with this Rambam. He was very much a person who would read the words and try to see what it says. That was, everybody would say, anybody who learned about Rambam knew, he'd, you know, let's see, Vasak Vashtet in the Verter. But there were certain places, a couple of places, where he didn't do that. Where he bent it out of shape. Where it conflicted with the core belief of what the Torah was. He couldn't accept that it was what it sounded like. And this was one example. To say that anything in the Torah is arbitrary was just unfathomable. Unfathomable. I have many, many... I had long discussions with him trying to... But it doesn't say it. It doesn't say it. The same thing was with the Rambam Shita, with Tchias HaMeisim, which is very different, very radical, very different than the Masaira that we accept. He learned it differently, even though it didn't sound at all like the Rambam was saying, what he was saying. The simple reading wasn't that way. And whatever, all kinds of things, but it just was unfathomable for it to deviate from the Masaira. Okay.
And there are several places in the Mora, aren't there, which the Rambam is...
Correct. Those were very, very problematic and had to be redone, so to speak. But the Maral here, when he raises his objection, he raises an objection from a verse which we laying yesterday, and we're laying Mir Tashem tomorrow, and we're laying Mir Tashem on Shabbos. The pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Veschanan, very beautiful and significant pasuk, where it says, Ki mi goy gadol, because who is a great nation? Asher loy chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kechol ha-tayro ha-zois asher anachin ha-sem lefnechem ha-yem. Who is a great nation? It speaks about the nations of the world admiring us, saying we're such a great nation that we have these laws which are just and right, like this Torah that I'm placing before you today. U'shmartem v'asisem ki chachmasem v'inaschem. Observe them, do them, because it is your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the nations that they hear this, they say, what a wise nation. Says the Rambam, says the Maral, how could you say that if parts of the Torah are arbitrary? It's saying the Torah is so wise, so how can you say that if parts of the Torah are arbitrary? Okay, it's a chiddush enough to say it. What he doesn't address is that there are certainly things that the Torah, that Chazal repeatedly say, the nations of the world look at it and say, that's weird, why are you doing that? Shatnas, paraduma, right? You know, what are you doing? Right? But if there's an inherent reason, so then perhaps ultimately they'll understand. But if it's in fact inexplicable, it has no reason. If it's arbitrary, it's just l'tzarif benes habriyos, then how can we see it as something which is just such an object of admiration of the nations of the world? So therefore he doesn't like what the Rambam says about it.
Does he mean that it's arbitrary to us, or it's arbitrary?
Arbitrary. The way he's reading the Rambam is that it's arbitrary. Ein bohem tam. I'll read to you the words again, the way he is doing it, and that's what it sounds like in the Rambam. It's true that there's no doubt that there's a reason why he gave the mitzvah, but to the details of the mitzvah. Every mitzvah has many details. Those ein lohem tam, they have no reason.
The details.
They have no reason. Shechita instead of malika, there's a reason, but that the shechita should be from the neck, the front of the neck instead of the back neck, there is no reason. It's just, you know, and look at the Rambam, it's clear. He's talking about no reason. He's saying at a certain point, like he almost, at a certain point he says, look, and if you have to do it one way or the other, if you do it this way, say, why don't you do it that way? Do it that way, why don't you do this? You know, like that kind of a thing. Says Maral, no way, Jose, or whatever, Mose. Right? You know, it's got to be. It's chachmasem uvinaschem. There's a reason. There's a specific reason for everything. Okay, so that's the way he... Again, this is basically familiar to you from the part which we did last week. Again, here it's just about a different chazal, but same idea. The Ramban, his approach is, when you say, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? Right? Whether you do it this way or that way, it doesn't mean that it doesn't make a difference. But it is... in the lines of what we find spoken about different places in Tanakh, where we say, okay, so it's a good thing, so it's a great thing, so it's a wonderful thing. But does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need it? Understand that when you're doing mitzvahs, you're not doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu any favors. It's L'tzaref Bohenes HaBriyos. You're doing yourself a favor. You're helping yourself. You're not helping him. He doesn't, quote-unquote, need this. Im tzadakta matitein lo, the pasuk says in Eiv. It's one of many such verses. If you're going to do the right thing, what have you given him exactly? What's Hashem? Hashem's not better than he was before? What is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because he wanted to give us opportunity. To give us the opportunity to share of his type, to share of his goodness. It's good for us. It's not for him. That's the Lechima Ichbis Leila HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to quote the Ramban as well, that the idea is that a person, through the mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us, those mitzvahs purify our midos. They make us better people. They make us better people. And, again, he disagrees with this. He disagrees with the approach of the Ramban. As we said last week when we said it over, his disagreement with the Ramban is not nearly as radical as the disagreement with the Ramban. The Ramban is also agreeing that there are reasons. But the Ramban seems to say that everything could be measured in terms of the reasoning that you could identify. A reasoning of, okay, look, it has a visible impact on your character this way or the other way. He says, that doesn't work. That doesn't work because, first of all, they don't always have visible impact. Second of all, you know, it works for some mitzvahs, doesn't work for other mitzvahs. Second of all, even there, remember his kashas last week? It says, Ashar I say, you can't shech the mother and the child on one day. And how about a deer? I mean, if it's midos, so then why isn't it midos when it comes to a deer the same way it is when it comes to a lamb? The inconsistent, apparently inconsistent application means that it's not just simply something the way you can explain, oh, this will make you more compassionate, because then why does the Torah say it here and not say it there? So to simply make it as something that you can see, that's not, you know, with midos, that's not good. He doesn't like the Ramban either. Again, like we saw last time. So what is it? What do Chazal mean when they say, Lenit Natay Rak Litzar Fabrius? So, the Maral's pshat, Maral's approach is that, as we learned last time, that there's a science. There's a science to developing the spiritual aspect of a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person a neshama, which is a divine peace that was in that is within the person, and the mitzvahs and averis which he gave us, the mitzvahs, the things which we're supposed to, and the averis that we are supposed to avoid, these are the ways of cultivating that part of ourselves, of making the spiritual component of ourselves huge, and making the physical component of ourselves contained and limited within its proper confines. It's a seder, it's a very specific order of how we are to push the right buttons to make things work. And just like as we understand in the intricate natural sciences of the world, there are very specific ways to do things. Tiny variations will produce very, very greatly different results. That's the Torah. The Torah is a precise instrument of how we are supposed to be able to cultivate these things. There is a say there to a human being and what it is that we're supposed to be able to do to cultivate and to make ourselves. And this is an idea which he has been speaking about since Perek Aleph of the Tiferes Yisrael. We spoke about it when we spoke, and again he goes over this and adds a little bit to it when we speak about the idea that there's the 365 mitzvahs losa say that correspond to the 365 days of the year under the sun, right? The 248 are the limbs of the person. One is development and one is restraint, watching the order within which we function. Here he speaks about, he adds a little nakuda, a nice element, that everything has its place. You have the person or the item, and you have the place which is its best place for within which it functions. The makayim, again he alluded to this before, the term makayim comes from the term mekayim. Right? If you go and you plant an orange tree in your backyard here in Baltimore, it's not going to work. it's not gonna grow properly, I believe, right? Why? Because it's not its makom. It's not a place which can sustain it. The climate is not suitable for it. The makom is the makayim. Everything has its makom, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. So says the Maharal, that's the idea. What's our place? Our place is Tachas HaShemesh, right? As it says in Kehelos, we live in the world that's under the sun. So the Loisa says are there to help us interact with our environment, to interact properly in terms of what we partake of and don't partake of the world. That's the 365 Loisa says, corresponding to 365 days of the solar year. That corresponds to our Mokayim. The 248 are the limbs of the person, right? That corresponds to the person himself, the person within his environment, allowing yourself to be all you can be, as they say. So therefore, right, those are the dimensions that we're trying to do. We're trying to cultivate and develop these aspects of ourselves. Says the Maharal, the nations of the world have sheva mitzvahs. Again, he touched upon this earlier in the Sefer. The nations of the world have seven mitzvahs. Why? Because seven is the number of this world. We say you have, everything has six directions, right? Three dimensions, two poles to each direction, right? So that's the box. That's everything which exists in this world. And its center point, right? It goes off, but its center point, its essence, is the seventh, right? So when we speak about the 7 days of the natural week, you have 6 days. And then the seventh, right? The core day, the day of rest, the day where, so to speak, it is, where it's about, which exists to some degree within the physical world, but instead of going off in all directions, it's the core. So that's the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The B'nai Noach, the level of cultivation which they have is not as divine beings. It's as fundamentally human natural beings. And there's still an order which they have to maintain to be proper, the natural human beings within the world. So their order is an order of seven, an order of the Sheva Mitzvahs. That has to be maintained. That they don't go deviate in any direction improperly, and that they don't compromise their essential self. That's the seventh. However, for Klal Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem Keruyim Adam, all of the potential which is put in of Tzelem Elokim, of the divine image, of maximizing that, of capitalizing that, of making that happen, that requires much more than the natural world direction. There you're developing a divine piece. There it's way, 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 way beyond the seven. Way beyond the seven. That's where we get to the Taryag Mitzvahs. That's where we get to, indeed, going beyond. Yeah.
Can I ask, I don't want to deviate, but as you just described the seven mitzvahs of the nations and then corresponded to the 7 days of the week, and yet, the Maharal brings down the point that if non-Jews keep Shabbos, then they're chayav Misa. So it would seem that Shabbos really isn't a component of the non-Jews world. So then how do the 7 days of the week, which contain Shabbos as its center point, actually correspond to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, for whom Shabbos is not their center point?
It's an excellent question. It's a significant question. It's a serious question, which means I'm going to kick it down the road. It requires actually asked me this question also, after one of the earlier ones. It's a very serious, very significant question, and it's a question which is dealt with by the Maharal. But it's for itself. You're asking if that means Shabbos is the place within the natural world. So then why doesn't the guy have it? Akum Shabbos Chayav Misa. We're going to even, I don't know if you're referring, in this discussion today, he's going to discuss that. But only from a very, very limited perspective. Not getting into the details of why Shabbos, but from the general idea. So that's something that is worthy of discussion, and Yirtzeh Hashem, hopefully we will be able to discuss it at some point.
Why can't you reconcile the Rambam with what you just said? I mean, I understand, if you take the Rambam literally, I see the problem, but the Rambam says, there's no reason, just like, I don't tell my patients every reason why things work, and here the Maharal saying the same thing. This is the way it is, you don't understand everything in science, and yet there's a certain Seder. We understand the general concept that if you do this, you turn out right. So the Rambam tries to give you reasons for things that we can understand to make it easier to accept, but there's certain things, it's not on our level. It's on Kodesh Baruch Hu's level. So why isn't that?
That's exactly the way Shiva Zasar Rabbi Weinberg went to Rambam. It's just very hard to see it in the language of the Rambam. Rambam does not sound like that at all. At all. If you take a look in the Maran Avuchim and in Chela Gimel, where he discusses it, if you have a chance, you'll see Rambam really doesn't sound like that. Okay, but that's the way, exactly the way he said it, is that everything has its reason. It's just some of the reasons are discernible and some of the reasons aren't discernible. Of course, if you're saying that, you're not going to make an argument that says, well, if you would have said this way, then you say, why don't you do it that way? You know, say, I have to say it this way. You know, it's not like Hashem just had to. So you have to choose one way or the other. That's part of the Rambam's argument. It doesn't sound like he's saying there's a very specific reason. I just can't explain it to you. It sounds like he's just saying, you know, heads you win, tails you lose. You know, it's not. You know, that's the way it sounds. But yes, it's possible. It's possible, and you know, others have understood that.
Maybe the original Arabic.
I completely went through with the original Arabic. Yeah.
I got it wrong. Why can't they be starting with two different points? Because the Maral himself doesn't seem to be addressing. He seems to be saying it's a seder, but he doesn't seem to be saying why the seder has to be. The seder was set this way for whatever reason, and now that there is a seder, Hashem wants to make the Hashem come out and develop in the best way possible. But why he had to make it these specific, develop these specific ways, he doesn't seem to be addressing. So he seems to be saying, well, once Hashem decided that it has to be these specific ways, then there's a specific seder. And the Rambam seems to be saying, from the step before that, that, well, Hashem arbitrarily set up this system, but in a chinami, now the system is there. You would agree you have to be didactic on the mitzvahs.
Okay, so the fine point is that what you're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the fact that he commanded this became the Seder where we would maximize ourselves, because it became a law of nature now of the world, that's the way it works. Whereas the way the Maral understands is that the world existed with a certain spiritual dynamic. The world existed with a certain spiritual dynamic. And the guidance which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us was, to some degree, to properly utilize that spiritual dynamic. What you're saying to some degree is what some, how some understand when we speak about this idea of istakel b'yoraisa ubara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and from that he created the world. So what does that mean? It's such an interesting idea. What does that mean? The Torah is this blueprint of the world. So some would say that the idea is that he created the mitzvahs, and then he built a world to fit that creation. So after the fact, once Hashem chose, quote-unquote, arbitrarily that this is the way it would be, the world will respond to it that way. It's possible. It's possible. The Maral, again, his understanding seems to be the other way around. In other words, this is the dynamics of the world, and therefore Hashem tells you to go this way, rather than a self-fulfilling man. And the Rambam also doesn't sound like he's giving it that much, because he's saying, now the issue is, now you listen to Hashem. This is what Hashem said. It's not that it now comes with some inherent quality or change. It's not inherent. It's only because Hashem told you. It's only because Hashem told you. It didn't even become inherent. It's only because Hashem told you. The Maral has an aside here. I mean... I see it as an aside. I don't think I'm fully understanding exactly why he's going through this to such a degree. But he says, you know, we should view it, the metaphor, and he uses even the pasuk of Ki Adam Eit Hasada, the metaphor of the seed which is planted in the ground, that the ground is the environment, the area in which it will develop. But there's a specific thing which is supposed to come from it. That seed is supposed to produce things with a very specific structure. Right, it's supposed to produce vines and grapes and whatever it is that's going to come out from it, ultimately, as a result. That's the way it's supposed to develop. And we have to see that in the same way. The Adam is Adama, the Adam is earth, that we put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a neshama inside the earth, inside the soil of the person's guf. And as it lives here in our guf, it is supposed to sprout and develop. Not develop physically, but develop the peiros of the neshama. We speak about peiros, toldos, are the good deeds which we do, right? The spiritual creations, the spiritual offshoots which come from us. That's what we're trying to develop over here. And just like with the seed, there's a very specific form and structure that needs to come forth. And if it doesn't come forth like that, it's mutant, you know, in some way it just doesn't produce the way it's supposed to. So then you say, something is wrong here. This isn't working out the way it was supposed to. So too, there's a specific yetzia lepoel, there's a specific actualization of the seed of the neshama that's supposed to come out. That's supposed to come out, and mitzvahs are the way we make that come out. Mitzvahs are to some degree what's supposed to come out, but they also create this general flourishing of the neshama within the physical environment of the guf.
When Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they performed the mitzvahs before the Torah was given, right?
Yeah.
Which means that they're from that, it was something inherent in the Bria that they were able to do that. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they did the mitzvahs before the Torah was given?
Correct.
So that must, it sounds like that means there's something.
They were able to note, they were able to see, they were able to have a sensitivity to that which was. That was which was right and that which was wrong. They were able to notice. They sensed it. Right. One of the great, you know, Bali Musar said this. You know, it says the Chamayra of Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer. It says a story about the donkey Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer that wouldn't eat from something that didn't have the maestra separated from it. So it was from a donkey. Mm-hmm. Right? But the donkey had a sense of, even the donkey had a sense of smell. It knew, it sensed when the thing wasn't right. Right? There was such a thing as a person having that intuitive smell of what's not right. Yes, of course. If you say that it's inherently not right, that's the point what you're making. If it's inherent that the thing isn't right, so then you can smell it. If it's arbitrary, then there's nothing to smell. Right? Then it would have to be that Hashem told Avram the mitzvahs, I'm giving you a sneak preview, this is what you should do, and Avram listened. But it doesn't, it's not, right, it's not an intuition. It's not something that he sensed by itself.
Rabbi, but if it's inherently good, why do only Jewish people have the mitzvahs, not everybody else?
Those who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give the opportunity to cultivate this part of themselves, Klal Yisrael were the ones who were on track. We were trying to find our way to cultivate the neshama. That's the schus we have from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the one who's trying to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for you, and for that direction, we're going to go beyond simply maximizing yourself as a physical being within this world, the seven of the Bnei Noach. We want you to go beyond. And that's what you're destined to do. And here he goes even further. The Maral in speaking of this, and he says, to address your thing, he says, why do we find that there are some mitzvahs that for the wrong person to do them, it would be considered catastrophic? Akum sheshavas, a guy who keeps Shabbos is chayav misa, a person who's in the conversion process, right, and they're practicing, so to speak, they have to be mechal al Shabbos, you know, it's a whole shtick, right, find some way to get them to be mechal Shabbos, they don't keep the Shabbos completely before they did it. He said, I understand. If a mitzvah is just inherently good, simply like the Ramban says, right? Understand, he's going to do something like the Ramban says. If it's inherently good, how could it be poison for somebody else? How could it be poison for somebody? How could it be chayav misa as a result of that? Right? Even we have some certain things with Talmud Torah. So he says, but if the idea is that every creature has the Seder to maximize what it is supposed to be. So sidrei shalzeh loik is sidrei shalzeh. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of this thing is not necessarily what he wants of that thing. Right? It may be that this oil is perfect for this machinery, and the simplistic mechanic is going to say, ooh, it worked great over there, let me try it over here. And over there it ruins it. Right? Why? Because it's not something which is just inherently good. It's good in a specific situation when applied, and everything is to be seen as part of its Seder, the science of where it fits within the world. And so concludes the Maral when we say that the mitzvahs mechima ichbis lei, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein sheichet min hatzavor v'sheichet min ha'erif, Right? So he says the idea is that the mitzvahs indeed give the person his seder. They give the person his meaning. They give the person his direction. It's not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not this. Right? So again, that's why he explains it. Avulim seder Hashem Yisroach HaMitzvahs Kefi Yatayv. Excuse me. V'lkach HaMitzvahs Heim Mitzvahim Adam Zeh V'Zeh Memisen. The mitzvahs will work for this person. Everything is according to the seder. V'Zehu Pirush U'ma'ich V'Zla HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ben Shechem Yatayv Ben Shechem Na'ayev. It's not the action itself that makes a difference. If it was the action, then it would be universal, of universal value. If it was just like a good midah, like the Ramban says, then everybody who did it would be duly rewarded. It's not objective. It's for this particular person. The mitzvahs were given for us to do for us specifically, and that's the idea. That's the purification. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. So again, the Maharal is firmly establishing his idea of the mitzvahs as a very precise system. And we move on to Perek Ches, where he brings another medrash. And here he addresses something which is, again, a common discussion when it comes to the nature of mitzvahs. Shal goyechod es Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai. A certain non-Jew asked Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai, Ilun uvdaya de atun avdin nirim kemin keshafim. The things which you do, they give the impression that there's some kind of hocus pocus, sorcery. Atam vim para, right? The classic. You bring this para, this heifer, v'sarfim isa, you burn it, v'kaishim isa, and you grind it up. V'naitlin es afra, and then you take the ash. V'achad mikem etami lemeis mazno l'shnayim shoshet yibin. Somebody who had come in contact with a corpse, he gets two or three drops sprinkled on him, a sprinkle a day, and then, and now you say, suddenly you're pure. What's going on over here? Amar loy. So he responded to him, and he said, tell me something. Nichnas boch ruach hazazis, you will find this amusing. We would have responded perhaps differently. He says, tell me, did you ever have a spirit, like, come in you, some kind of ruach ra? So he said, nope, never. So he says, have you ever seen somebody who had that? So he says, yes, I have seen people who have. He says, what do they do? So he says, Mevim ikrim umashtim tachta. They bring these certain herbs, and they burn them. Umarbitzin ala mayim, and then they sprinkle it with water. Yubayrachas, and it goes away. So he says, do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear what you're saying? There's certain ways to get rid of certain things. So the same way you have a way of getting rid of certain things, so we also have a way of getting certain things. There's a ruach hatuma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this sprinkle, and he says, that's the way it goes away. Right? If we would say, we might say, look, have you ever seen somebody who had strep throat? Yeah. And what do? You tell him he should take these two mysterious capsules, right? One in the morning, one in the afternoon, until he finishes the bottle. And then it goes away. How does that work? Looks like sorcery to me. It sure does. Right? It looks like sorcery to me, right? And then you go to another guy and he'll tell you, what?
It's an Obama says. Get rid of it.
So that's the, there are ways that things work. There are ways that things work.
Yeah.
So that's the story, right? So, but then the guy left, and the Talmidim said to Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, "Ozeh dachisa b'kana lanu ma'ata imer." Says him, you sort of dismissed, you pushed him aside with a reed. A reed is bendable. Rach kana, right? In other words, you took a little thing, and you pushed him aside. You responded to him. That's why you got the answer in. Tell us the real story, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. That was like apologetics. Tell us the real story. So he said to him, Chayechem, I'll tell you. Lo yameis metame v'lo yamayim metarim. The mace doesn't make tuma. The water doesn't make tara. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, Chuka chakakti. I've made the rule. Gezeira gazarti. I've made the decree. You can't go against it, as it says. Okay, so this is just another medrash, it sounds like, saying the same message as the one which we did earlier this morning, right? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care whether you shake, do it, it's only for Ratavan HaSabriyas, right? Or the one before that, which was, don't say Hashem's Rachmim extends to the bird's nest. Einam Elo Gzeiros. Right? What's being said here? What's being said in this specific thing? So, the thing is like this. So says the Maharal, what we're saying is like this. There's a common perception which is out there in the world. And that is that we will be able to explain mitzvahs for tangible benefits. We'll look at a study which shows that that circumcision, right now the American government is sending out teams to go and circumcise people in Africa. Why? Because it has a dramatic effect on the transmission of AIDS and other STDs, other sexually transmitted diseases. Oh, now you know. Now you know why you have to have a bris. Right? It's a good idea, right? People down, they do it in the hospital all the time. It's a medically indicated procedure. The wisdom of the Torah is borne out. Right? Or we'll explain the halachas of Taras HaMishpacha and the lull, which is provided in a way like that. And the wonderful effect which it's going to have, on the marriage or something like that, or the great wisdom of Shabbos. Just taste Shabbos and you know how it restores order to your life and so on and so forth. Or, why don't we eat chazer? Right? Because whatever it is, all these things. You can write a book, and there have been many written, right, about all the tremendous, terrific benefits that a person's going to be able to have from the mitzvahs. And to some degree, that was what this person was looking for. I don't see, what's going on? It explains to him in a certain way. Says the Maharal, Kol advarim ein bohem mamish le'inin iser shalahem. All of these things have no material relationship to the fact that they're usher. Now, Maral goes on and says, no. You see, this is the thing. This is so tricky. It's where he's distinguishing himself from everybody else. He says, it's not that it's not even true.
That's not the reason.
It's not that it's not true. I'll agree with you. It's true. It's true. You can find all these great benefits in the mitzvahs. It's not that it's not true. But the mitzvah we have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. Because there's something about it as a dvar mitzvah and a dvar avera. Again, not arbitrary. Very much not so. Not arbitrary. But it's not because of something which is just visible within the physical world. If you're going to tell me that the reason for a bris milah is because it's healthier, then it's not a divine mitzvah to cultivate the divine nature of a person. It's a physical piece of advice to make the person a physically better person. And while mitzvahs may help on different layers, they may help you on a physical level too, but that is completely underestimating or under assessing where the mitzvah is. What the mitzvah is, hyperspace, like they say, it's way beyond that. It's way beyond that. That's bekoneh. That's pushing it off with a reed. That's giving one small piece of what the mitzvah affects in a way which is visible, tangible. Again, something which you can observe within this world. But the mitzvah is way, way beyond that. Don't reduce yourself to that. The Rabbi Schwab used to say that we have an expression called tameh mitzvahs. What's that? How do you translate that phrase? Usually translated as the reason for the mitzvahs. He said, ta means taste. Taste. What it means is, you do the mitzvah, I want to show you something you're going to taste from it as a result, that you're going to be able to notice. So you open up the Sefer HaChinuch and he shows you things that you're going to be able to see, you're going to be able to appreciate. The reason is unfathomable. The reason is there. But it's beyond these simple, practical things that if you do this, you'll get along better with your neighbor. Right, that's a taste. That's something, that's peresein ba'ilam hazeh. That's some of the benefits which you have from it that you can feel in this world. But the core of it is ayin le'rosa elekim zulasecha yasa l'machakalei. That's for the world to come, which is just beyond our experience what it's accomplishing. And so, somebody who's asking from a perspective of this world, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai gives him a partial answer for it. By the way, the Rambam, who in the Maran Avuchim gives all kinds of very practical and pragmatic reasons, the common understanding is, because there are contradictions between when the Rambam says things in the Maran Avuchim and what he says in the Yad, in the Mishnah Torah. Right? Most famously is that he gives this famous explanation for Karbonis in the Mar Nevuchim about weaning us from idol worship, very troubling explanation. And in the Yad, he calls it a chayk. He calls Karbonis a chayk. The most famous tam of the mitzvah, he calls it as a chayk b'loy tam. What's the idea? The Rambam clearly, when he was writing the Mar Nevuchim, he was writing the Mar Nevuchim to respond to the philosophical environment which was burgeoning at the time that he was living. He was going into the world of the Greeks and speaking Greek. That's what he was doing. So much of what he did there was there. He had to. It had to. You couldn't have the Torah lose footing with everything else. So the tactical approach which the Rambam did was Lozeh dachisai bekana. Speak to them in there, in terms that they can understand. Am I believing that I'm giving you necessarily the full story? For sure not. I'm giving you something. I'm giving you something. If you're entrenched in that way of thinking, then I have to somehow explain it to you that way. Now, is that a little bit of a compromise? Maybe it's more than a little bit of a compromise. Is it a ziyuf ha-Torah? Is it a misrepresentation of the Torah? Evidently, the Rambam did not feel that it was a misrepresentation of the Torah. Some might. I don't know if the Maharal ever would have written a book like that. The Maharal says, no, farkert. Give them the Torah double-barreled. All pistons firing. Show them its beauty. It'll take them off into another world. That's what he does in the Be'er HaGadol. He does all these things. He doesn't try to give, you know, apologetics. He goes all the way. Now, the Rambam had precedent in Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai.
And they're level.
Yeah. So that's his main thing. Don't look in this parak. I mean, that's the main thing. We'll give you a couple. We have a couple more things here that we will add. But don't talk about mitzvahs simply in a way which is going to be observable and explainable in this world, because that's really, really, really dumbing it down. That's really limiting it from what it's supposed to be. And here again, he brings other examples of things which are, you know, Chazal say, the Gemara says, that when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael during the time of conquest, they were able to eat katli v'chaziri, which is dried pig. They were able to eat things which are normally usher, sort of like a Eishes Yifas Toar situation. You know, what wasn't mutter under normal circumstances was mutter under these circumstances. So some understand that the idea is it's taka not good for you. It's not good for you. That's the way many understand, and it's very explainable. It's not good for you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, under such circumstances, I'm not telling you to avoid it. You know, sometimes a fellow will go to the doctor, and he has all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems, and the fellow's wife is hanging there in the background telling the doctor, so tell him to stop smoking, or you tell him to stop smoking, right? And the doctor will say to the, just pull the lady aside, and he'll say to him, look, he should stop smoking, there's no question. There's no question he should stop smoking. But right now, he has so many other things that are going on, I need him to focus on them first. Those issues are more critical right now than him stopping smoking right now. So if he smokes now, I'm saying it's going to be fine if he smokes. It's not fine if he smokes. It's still damaging if he smokes. But I'm just not going to make an issue of it right now. We'll say that for another time. So many understand that this kind of a heter, the Torah is not saying it's good for you. It's just saying we're going to save that for another time. Now is not the time for maximizing necessarily the spirituality. Look, we'll let you do it. Maharal says, I mean, he doesn't address that argument the way I just said it. But he says, if it's no good, it's never good. But again, if it's Seder, if it's this Seder which is out there, which we can't define, if you're going to say pig is inherently, it does something to pollute you, you know, so then it does something to pollute you. Whenever you eat it, it does something to pollute you. And Hashem's overlooking it. But if you say, there's something, yeah, it does something to pollute you, but not in a way that you can measure. It's something which is there in a spiritual dynamic of the world that's very precise. And just like for a Jew, Shabbos is magic, and for a Goy, Shabbos is poison. So, this katli de chaziri, this dried pig, right, on a certain time it's poison, and a certain time it's perfectly fine. Depends on the context.
Is Shiv versus Dechuya the same type of idea?
Yes, that's basically, the Maral is not arguing Dechuya. He's not saying, don't worry about it, we'll, you know, it's outweighed by other things. He's saying, it's just not an issue here. That's the way it is. This is the way the Maral understands the Chazal that I mentioned to you, I think, 2 weeks ago, when we learned the Rambam. And I shared with you the Rambam in the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos, in the sixth chapter of the Shemayna Prakit, where the Rambam explains the Chazal that says that a person should not say, I'm not interested in Basar Chazir. But rather he should say, I would love it, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to have it. So we explain there how the Rambam says that there are certain mitzvahs which are midos mitzvahs, where we don't say, a person shouldn't say, I would want to do it, but what can I do? Hashem said. There it's better for a person to want the right things, not to want the bad things. But there are other mitzvahs which are just chukim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we don't know why, right? The unexplainable mitzvahs, or maybe, in light of the Mar Nevuchim, maybe, the arbitrary, right? And those, we're listening to them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do them. Maral says no. What the person is saying is like this. The person is going to pull out all those nice articles, the scientific studies that explain why it's not great to eat pork. And he's going to say, you see? Yes, Shiva Basar Chazir. He's going to bring out the articles that explain how when you put together hamburgers with a slice of cheese, the chance of salmonella infection is magnified 3 times. Right? So I don't eat cheeseburgers. Don't say, I don't want it. Not Yeshiva, I have no appetite for it. Not that it doesn't look good, but I can explain to you exactly why I'm not doing it. Don't explain to me why I don't do it. Say, I would do it, but I'm not doing it because of something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, which I can't sense necessarily, but I know that's the Torah. The Torah, the way he did it, he laid it out, he mapped it out for us, that this is the way the mechanics of that mysterious and elaborate spiritual works, world works. Follow it. Maximize it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We can't reduce the Torah down to size. Now, in a certain sense, this is a pirush on Nasa V'Nishma. On Nasa V'Nishma. And again, we are writing the Rambam's Marin of Uchim today. Because we are in a situation of trying to attract people to Torah. Whether people who aren't familiar with Torah, or FFBs who just don't understand the value of Torah. So we try to show how enriching it is. Try to give 100 reasons why to keep every mitzvah. Turn Friday night into Shabbos, whatever it is. Right? You know, if you put up a billboard on Reisterstown Road in Pikesville to try to encourage people, you know, your outreach center is going to put up a billboard and it's going to say, come, keep mitzvahs. It's God's advice. Right? You don't even have to get an 800 number, trust me. Right? But what are you going to do? You're going to say, see, come taste the beauty of Shabbos. You'll be hooked. That's not Nasa V'Nishma. That's not what the Maral's talking about over here. So, look, we're entry level, you know. That's what we got to do.
The Shechina's hidden.
That's what we got to do. The Shechina's hidden. That's what we got to do. But let us not fool ourselves that that's where it's at. Nasa V'Nishma is, Rabban Shem, you know the score. There's no vetting that I have to do. There's no vetting that I can do. Tell me what it is and I'll decide. I can't vet it. It's beyond me. It's like me again telling my doctor, okay, you tell me, go ahead, tell me the things, or this full disclosure thing. You know? Right? Tell me exactly what it is, and I'm going to decide. Now, again, there's room for full disclosure. A person will say, look, this thing, generally the results could be this. There are these risks. There are these benefits. Yes, that's tangible. By a regular person, he's going to be able to judge between those things. There he should be making his decisions. He should be making his decisions. But at a certain point, you know, the stuff which he can't understand, it's ridiculous to put it into his hands to make those decisions. Nasa V'Nishma is that. And in line with what Rav Schwab said, the Rebbe Rabbunin of Pshischa, one of the Gedolei HaChassidus, said that that's Pshat Nasa V'Nishma. He said, we'll do it. We're just going to do it. You understand why? Just going to do it. then, after doing it, we'll hear, we'll understand why it made sense to do it. Sometimes a mitzvah is completely not understandable. If you can ask the person, you can try to make the case, crazy, meshuga, right? Taras ha-mishpacha, right? But then, you know, do it, and maybe you'll appreciate the taste. Then maybe you'll understand. So again, that's the limited understanding. That's not the why. That's just the part which is observable. Peresein ba'olam hazeh. It's a little bit of the byproduct that you enjoy in this world, with a taste of it in this world. The true measure of it, beyond that which we're able to see. Beyond that which we're able to see.
Isn't it also that if you make it all subject to rationalization, here's the reason for the mitzvah, because it makes you less prone to this disease or that disease. As soon as you rationalize it, and you give the person a pislin peh, an opening, to say, oh, well, in this particular context, I don't have to do it because that reason doesn't apply anymore. We don't have any more cysts in the meat. They've desystatized the meat, so therefore,
correct.
Pasteurized.
By doing that, you limit it. That's what Chazal say about Amarti Echem Avihira Chaykem Amani. Once you give a reason for the mitzvah, you circumscribe the mitzvah. You give the person room to negotiate around it, to explain
right.
why it doesn't apply in this situation or to them. And it's not simple, right? So, okay. I mean, this is a big sugya. Time of mitzvah is a big sugya. You even have machlokas in the Gemara of Rav Shimon, whose opinion was darshin and time of the krah. But sometimes you'll figure out what the reasoning is in the pasuk, and you're going to apply it as such. Right? It's a big thing to explore with its full parameters. But I hope we have some sense of what the morale is teaching here.
Is teaching is not an issue in high school?